That being in mind, let's flip over to chapter 3. Starting then at verse 1 of chapter 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked day and night, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle, and they are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him, in order that he may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Our text comes from verse 1 of this chapter. Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. Some of you naturally watch the map. Even when you're traveling, you naturally have the map out and you watch it. Other people, probably among the Lord's Christian church, never pay attention to the map. Think just a minute of the map of the territory where the Apostle Paul worked and labored. On the east side of the terrain, the east side of the Aegean Lake, Aegean Sea, is the whole country of Turkey. On the west side of the Aegean Sea, north of the Mediterranean, is the whole country of Greece. Where that Aegean Sea makes the arc at the very, very top, about smack dab in the middle, when the Apostle Paul was there, was a beautiful town named Thessalonica. It was at the mouth of a river, a very fertile, fertile valley, and it was a very productive city. Now, 1900 years later, 1950, that city has the same name, Thessalonica, and that city is the second largest in all of the country of Greece. However, if you are traveling the way the Apostle Paul traveled, from the east to the west, as he's coming over across the top of that Aegean Sea on land and coming into the town of Thessalonica, the Lord gave it that in the town of Thessalonica there would be a beautiful church. But beyond the town of Thessalonica, extend the road 40, 50, 60 miles, there's a place where, traveling then south along the Aegean Sea, there's a place where the mountains come right up alongside of the sea. And there's only a little band of land along there where the road cuts between the steep cliffs of the mountains and the drop off to the sea. That very narrow band of land was crucial in the page, on the pages of history. The year 450, 490 BC. The great king of Persia, Darius II, father-in-law to Esther the queen. Darius the Persian was irritated at the Greeks, and he determined that he was going to take his armies and crush the country of Greece and make it bow in submission. Think of it. He sent thousands upon thousands of the top Persian troops out of Persia, out of Iraq, out of Iran, across Iraq, across Turkey, marching all the way, and they marched through Istanbul, through that stretch of land. They came through the town of Thessalonica, and as they're heading south, the 350 miles from Thessalonica towards their target, Athens, they had to pass through that narrow band of land between Mount Olympus and the sea. With 10,000 Persian troops, Darius the Great was convinced he was going to conquer Greece. What stood in the way? Maybe some of you have seen the movie. General Miltiades and 300 Spartans. The 300 Spartans, known for their warlike capacity, stood in that pass between the mountain and the sea. The 300 Spartans against 10,000 Persians. In fierce, ferocious, phenomenal hand-to-hand combat, 300 Greeks held back 10,000 Persians until the last Greek was dead. But they bought enough time that the rest of the armies, the rest of the peoples of Greece, could pull together armies, stage a second battle, and the Persians were defeated. From that point on, the Persian Empire began to shrink. But when that happened, that the second battle took place, a runner from a small village right near where that battle took place, the name of the village was Marathon. The small runner ran 200 plus miles all the way to Athens, hence the Marathon runner. Why did he run that fast? Why did he run that far? Because he was proclaiming to the people of Athens and their capital city that the good news of victory had been accomplished. Some 500 years later, the missionary named Paul served in the city of Thessalonica. And while he is in Thessalonica, a church is growing, and it seems to be moving in the right direction, and it seems to be expanding, and he thinks there's good things going on in Thessalonica, but He's thinking beyond. He's thinking beyond the village of Marathon, the city of Sparta, the city of Athens, the city of Corinth. And he does not want the missionary cause of the gospel to stop for you and me too. When the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ comes to you and me and declares the great news of victory in Christ and because of his resurrection and his sacrifice, the Lord never intends that you and I take that message and treat it as some comfortable thing that we can hold by ourselves and stay nice and cozy in our pew. The Lord thinks beyond, beyond, beyond. And beyond Thessalonica was Marathon. Beyond Marathon, Athens, Sparta, Corinth, and the whole of Europe. Two problems came in the way. First problem was, you know, there's two letters that Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. The first letter he wrote after the first missionary journey. Great, nice letter. Then he writes a second letter. Why? Because in between that first letter and the second letter, somebody came into the picture, wrote a false letter under the name of Paul. Falsely signed the name of Paul so that the Thessalonian church would think that that was a legitimate letter. And then Apostle Paul has to quickly write another letter to follow up on the false letter that came from this imposter. In fact, in verse 17, Apostle Paul writes, chapter 3, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is my distinguishing mark in all my letters. Don't be deceived. This letter is legitimately from me. This is how I write. First problem. The letter of the imposter came in between. Second problem, persecution. Persecution came against the Thessalonians two ways. One, from within the church there came confusion, and from outside the church came persecution. The devil's double attack against the church. He loves to make in the church confusion, even giving false documents for them to follow. And outside the church, persecution. Keeping that in mind, two things the Lord lays in front of you this morning. First, his command to obey. And second, the prayer to pray. The command he wants you to obey. Verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us. Don't you love it when the Bible shows that word of brothers again and again? Some denominations are better at talking about brothers and sisters in the faith than you and I. Right? Some denominations, particularly down south and among some of the Baptist traditions, they're forever talking about brother and sister. Well, maybe. Oh, lots of denominations pick up on that. I find that the older I get, the more I want to use those two words. Brother and sister. Isn't it wonderful, though, that in the family of God, doesn't matter what your ethnic background is, doesn't matter what your nationality is, if you are in Christ, you are brother and sister. So in a church family like this, it doesn't matter what your ethnic background is. It doesn't matter which nation has stamped its seal of approval on your passport. When you are in Christ, you're in the family of God. And your last name is Christian. Back to the text. Finally, brothers, pray for us. Who's us? Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silas and Timothy. That's us. In other words, they are the missionaries of the church. They're at the cutting edge of the battle. They're like representatives of the 300 Spartans standing in the gap. They're doing the hard work of the church. Apostle Paul says, please pray for us. For those that are at the firing line need the most prayer. Well, there's a neat thing there too. The Bible says, pray toward, pray for us. The word pray in Greek means literally pray towards. So pray towards God for us. There's something keen right there. You know how all the Muslims and all the mosques all over the world will pray only in one direction? Towards Mecca. So all the prayer rugs, even in their homes, are laid down towards Mecca. There's a big stir in some of the prisons if the prisoners can't pray towards Mecca. You and I pray. We pray not towards Jerusalem over there in Israel. We pray towards God. Which means you must position yourself in your intense, personal, urgent prayer that you're praying towards God. Let me contrast. If a mom is working in the kitchen and she is in the busy of making some food and something spills over, she can be talking, she can be working with her hands, there's a spill on the counter, she can say over her shoulder to her daughter, grab me the tea towel. She doesn't have to be facing her daughter in order to say that command or say that request. She can say it just over her shoulder. So when you're praying to your Lord, the Lord doesn't ask you, the Lord doesn't expect you, the Lord doesn't want you to simply say flippant prayers like you throw them over your shoulder. He wants you to get sincere, pray toward. And out of that sincerity, what comes? For us. Backtrack. In the course of this past month, we had this horrible news hits the nation regarding down there in Fort Hood, Texas, where this certain army major took his weapons, opened fire, and all of those victims who happened to be standing in his line of fire and their families, whole nation, upset about what he had done. Meanwhile, investigation proves that on that psychiatrist's business card, there is printed a code, three letters, W-O-A, right? Warrior of Allah. He saw himself as a jihadist, fighting the war of wrath in the name of Allah. In your life, in my life, there ought to be on our cards a code. M-O-C. Missionary of Christ. Amen. For if you're a missionary of Christ, you're involved in this worldwide endeavor. The Muslims know how to think globally. You and I need to think globally. But likewise, Paul and Silas and Timothy were missionaries of Christ. It's one worldwide endeavor. You and I are involved. Think back also in the course of the past month. Less than a month ago, we had Mission Emphasis. What a delight to sit in a pew and see all those flags up here. What a delight to see those 20-plus flags. What was it, 30? I don't remember the number. And little children bringing them forward, some children hardly tall enough, strong enough to hold that flag, from keep that flag from dragging on this carpet. What a delight. But we're part of a worldwide mission. Add to that, during those 2 weeks, we had the privilege, even in our worship services, of having pastors preach to us from Russia, India, Southeast Asia, China, Africa, add the other continents on planet Earth, add to that the backside of your bulletin, last count, 21 different causes we're involved in. Missionaries of Christ, you and I are to pray for them. How's your prayer life? How much time do you spend on your knees? Well, add to that locally. For those that are at the cutting edge are also oftentimes the ones to encounter the most attacks from Satan. All you have to do is look back over the history of this congregation in the last 5 years, and you can just pick them out of the crowd, those that had been in leadership and have come under attack from Satan. Well, in leadership then, all of those that are teaching in Sunday school, or helping with Sunday school, or teaching in catechism, or helping with gyms, we're helping with cadets. They're up front. Do they ever get discouraged? Have you ever prayed for them? Add to that the prayer buddies. Besides those on the list, do you know any others that need a personal prayer buddy? Add to that all that are involved in Bible studies. All that have any sort of leadership of any kind in the church. Add to that, those that are giving leadership in the families, and how many of them have been under attack? So the Lord says here in His Word, pray for us. You are a missionary of Christ. The command to obey? Yes. Also the prayer to pray. He tells you what to pray. Here it is. Text goes on. Pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly. I was delighted when I found out in the Greek that that is written simpler in the Greek. NIV translates it very well to convey the message, but in the Greek it comes out simpler. It comes out this way. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run rapidly. That the word of the Lord may run rapidly. When you've got an urgent desire, you want to run rapidly, right? When a child wants to get in a spot in a quick hurry, they want to run rapidly. If a lady is walking a little fancy dog down the sidewalk, and that fancy dog sees a little chipmunk go under the bush, what happens? The little dog takes after that little chipmunk, until he gets to the end of the leash. Just a side note, in Ukraine, one day I was walking on the sidewalk and I saw a big Russian come through with a monstrous Russian dog. I don't know how big of a, what kind of a dog that was. It was bigger than a Great Dane. It was bigger than a Russian wolfhound. This massive, monstrous, black, brown, and white dog. And that dog saw another dog about 40 feet away, and this big dog was going to take out that smaller dog, and he just tore off, and the leash held, but the Russian man is just dragged right along until a lamppost came in the way. He could hang onto the lamppost. The text says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run rapidly, like the marathon gets to the next town as soon as possible to tell the news of the gospel. That's what you want. That's what I want. For the word of the Lord speaks of Jesus. And what do you want? That the word of Jesus gets to the next town, that it gets to the next city, that it gets to the next country, that it gets to the next worker, that it gets to the next student, that it gets to the next family member. Don't you hate it when something's supposed to run and it only crawls? Wouldn't you hate it if an ambulance driver has a critical case bleeding to death in the back and he chooses to go 4 miles an hour to the hospital? Don't you just hate it when the message of the Lord doesn't run rapidly, but it crawls? It crawls to the next house. It takes 5 years to get from this house to the next house. Don't you hate it when it takes 5 months for the message of the Lord Jesus to get from one student to the next college student? Don't you hate it when it takes 5 weeks for someone in a family member to say something about Jesus to the next person in the family member, as a family member? Don't you hate it when, you know, pray that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly, that it may run rapidly. And pray in all seasons, whether in time of war or in time of peace, whether in time of sickness or in time of health, whether in time of poverty or time of prosperity, whether in days of joy or times of trial, whether in basking in the blessings of the Lord or experiencing something of the venom and the hatred of Satan. All conditions, pray that the word of the Lord might run. Ah, truth be told, sometimes it runs better in persecution than in times of peace, eh? Witness, when the New Testament church was young, when the Apostle Paul was doing his missionary work, there is a Caesar from Rome that is frequently talked about in Christian circles. His name is Nero. Ignore him. Verse 2 says, pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. While the Christian church was in those young stages and being pushed onward, forward, onward, forward, who was Caesar in Rome? He was known by the nickname of Little Boots. For Little Boots, when he was in the military, had such small feet. That's what his fellow soldiers called him. Little Boots. When the Senate first elected him into office, the first 6 months, he showed himself to be very generous, very merciful. And Little Boots emptied the treasury of Rome as he gave games and entertainment for all of the people that wanted to attend. He lunged into these building projects all over the empire till the bank was broke as he was building all these projects all over the empire. And then it's like Little Boots flipped. Some say he went insane. For Caesar Caligula went on a rampage. He murdered his own adopted son. Anyone that stood up against him, he banished or murdered. He chose to elect, have appointed to the Senate, his favorite horse as consul, which is like lead senator. And he loved to dine on his patio in the supper hour while his enemies were being tortured to death just feet away from him, while he'd be working on his potatoes, his hors d'oeuvres, and his dessert. In 4 years' time, the guards could not handle anymore, and he was assassinated. But the Christian church in that era had him as ruler. The Lord does not promise you that church and state will always work harmoniously together. The Lord does not promise you you will have a life free from persecution. The Lord does not promise you you can sit in a rocking chair while others have to stand in the pass. But the Lord does promise you he will be faithful. For it says in the text, back to verse 1, pray that the message may run rapidly and may be honored, so that the word of God may be honored, that it may be lifted up, that it may be glorified, it may be held high, high above the book of the Quran, high above the writings of the Hindu gurus, high above the works of Josephus or Confucius or Buddha, high above the works of Charles Darwin. Pray that the word of God may be draped in splendor and held high. And remember, not everybody's going to be faithful. But verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen, and he will protect you from the evil one. So therefore, go forward in courage. The Lord in Christ has won the battle. Go forward in courage and tell the world that Christ shall have the victory. Go forward in courage. Let nothing slow you down. Let nothing daunt your courage. Go forward in courage. The Lord is faithful, and he'll provide anything you need. Lord our God and King, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your abounding peace. We humbly pray, Lord, that you would send us out in courage. Grant that we might be faithful as prayer warriors. Grant that we might be faithful in supporting all of those missionaries of Christ. Grant that we might be faithful even when other people are not faithful. Help us, Lord, to be at the task. Now we ask, Lord, that you would give everything we need. Strengthen us, equip us, empower us, and allow us to do everything in the power to spread that message of peace in Christ and his victory through the cross all around the world. Hear our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.